Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
What is up, Rock Church family? How are you all doing tonight? Everybody good? Man, it's so good to see you. As you may or may not have realized, I am not Robert Madu. So if you came expecting, oh, maybe he'll still be there tonight. I'm sorry. Didn't everyone have a good time this weekend in church? Maybe you weren't here this weekend. Man, you don't want to miss out on, maybe you'll catch the podcast or you can see the video online. Amazing, amazing time we've had in church thus far. And I really am so encouraged because, you know, Pastor Dan, we were praying pre-service prayer. We were gathering together praying, and he's like, hey, you know, Father God, I just pray that Antonio is not, he's equipped to do what he's gonna do, right? He all but said, it's okay that he's not Robert Madu, because he's Antonio. But you know what? I recall, I don't know if you guys remember the last time Madu was here, Pastor Robert. And he shared about how he went to the Hillsong conference and he got a few minutes. Basically, he was kind of share just a quick exhortation with the people as a last minute thing or last minute request. Remember, he went into his room and was like freaking out about what that was going to look like. And he had to remember that he was called to be Robert Madu and not T.D. Jakes, because that's who else was at the conference, right? All these other great speakers, communicators, gifted, talented people. And I'd have to remember, I am not Robert Madu. I am called to be Antonio. And I'm so grateful for that. Just like you are called to be who you are, right? Look to your neighbor, say, called to be who you are. You are called to be who you are. So, hey, we're going to go straight into the Word, and then we'll get back into worship and some other things a little bit later on in the service. But we're going to do that. We're just going to go into the Word. And I'm so excited about this because God gave me... a word earlier, and you know, before I get into a quick story, I was, you know, I'm a little bit conflicted in how to present this to you, because what I don't want you all to do is realize that maybe when if we break bread, go have a meal or grab a coffee, that I'm going to use you in an illustration or story. And on the other side, I don't want to reveal all the preacher tricks of the trade. But the reality is that we, as communicators, as preachers, as leaders, we, because of the nature of what we do, of serving you guys, of being with the people, the way we see God live, move, and breathe is through you and your lives. So when we hang out, when we fellowship, when we have coffee, when we go get lunch or dinner or whatever it might be, man, just know it's subject to, man, that is a testimony of God moving. So it's up for grounds. I'll just give it to you now. But actually, so that's my reluctance, but I want to share a story. I had an opportunity to go to lunch with a good friend of mine this week, a friend that we hadn't hung out outside of church for quite some time. So we're catching up, right? And we going through what's going on in life, summer vacations, family, things of all that nature. But then when we started talking about his work is when really he had said something so profound that really stuck with me so much that I knew I had to share it with you all, because it so blessed me. And I know that if we can get what the gist of what he was saying, it not only will affect, you know, just how we do life better, but it'll also make us more effective. Does anybody want to be more effective in their life? Amen. I know I do. All right, so can we go before the Lord in prayer? Is that okay with everyone? Heavenly Father, we just come before you. We're just grateful to be in your house tonight. What a privilege it is to be in your presence, Father God. We don't take it for granted for one moment. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise today, Father God. I pray personally, Jesus, Lord God, that you would just use me as a vessel, Father God. Let the words that I share, anything that I might communicate, Father God, let it be your spirit through me, Lord God. I step aside for my opinions, thoughts, and anything like that, Father God. And I say, use me, Father God. Speak to your people through me, Lord God. Lord Jesus, encourage those who need encouragement. Just give peace to those who are looking for peace. Be the lifter of our heads, our shield, our exceeding great reward, just like you are, Father God. So we invite you into this place. Open up our ears, open up our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so a little bit more into the story. Now let me kind of share with you what what all happened, right? As we kind of were catching up and hearing about his job, and he starts sharing with me, he's been on his job for a few years now, and he coming to share with me, he realized that, man, after all these years, he lived his work way in such a way that, you know, I didn't know what to do. I got this job, and here it was, and it was great for me. But what happened was he was working in places that he didn't necessarily feel qualified for, right? Doing things that he didn't realize that he was going to be doing. So he's sharing with me about some of the nature of his job. He works at a manufacturing plant, right? Manufactures steel, and so there's what I would imagine are like big equivalent of airplane hangars, and there's these huge machines in which they can manufacture and work on. And he works as a mechanic, and so he fixes these machines as they need fixing. But he's talking to me, and he's sharing how. He's sharing how as he goes up there, some of them are really tall machines, and so he wears a protective harness, right? There's protective gear, but he has other coworkers that don't necessarily wear their gear, or they don't wear the harness just because they'd rather just, maybe it's uncomfortable or whatever, for some, whatever reason, they don't wear it. But what he said was that he realized that the people who are not wearing the protective gear aren't as effective in their work because they're like on edge, right? As I would be, and maybe you're afraid of heights, and you could imagine being on a high machine, right? In a steel plant where there's a lot of heat and discomfort already. And so they're trying to fix machines, but having a hard time. But then he shares with me how, man, I'm not really a big fan of heights, but when I have my harness, I feel totally comfortable. So I go out there and I just kind of kick butt at what I do. Like, I've gotten really good at it. I've gotten really efficient because I know that even if I fall, I have a harness on. But what he said next was so profound. I don't know if he's in here or not, but he had said that. He's like, I don't get why people don't just do this with life. I see people living like this, where they just live life without a harness. They just live life going about whatever they might be able to do, and they're on edge because they think they might fall. But I get to live my life knowing that there's a harness on me. I have God, and even if I do fall, I'm not going to get hurt. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, amen, pastor. I'm like, man, that is so good. And I was so blessed by that because I'm realizing that this idea of having the power of God within us that will allow us to be effective at everything we do. And then the idea that we don't have to be afraid of trying new things because the power of God is so alive in us that even if we were to fall, even if we were to come up short, we have a harness on. So whether or not we're in the heights of our life where we're, you know, these things are unstable, uncharted territory, man, we have a harness on that is Jesus Christ that we can be secure in, amen? So I want to share this thought with you because as I heard that, a thought came to mind, or a scripture came to mind. If you would turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. See, because that image was just so cool, and it made me wonder, where in my life do I do that? Where in my life do I step out? And that's a question I have for you, where that you can start to think about, where in your life are you living that you kind of have that harness, you know, where you know that you're in a harness, or where in your life are you maybe living without a harness and you are so over your shoulder all the time because you know that there's not security in what you're doing. And it robs from the effectiveness that you could be doing in the assignment that you have. Amen. Right, so we all have assignments, right? We all know we have assignments. But oftentimes we lack the security or the power that we can get from wearing God's power or the harness that we could have so that if anything were to happen, we know. See, oftentimes it's kind of like auto insurance. Anyone have auto insurance? I hope everyone has auto insurance, right? So it's kind of like in case, right? We know it's in case, right? Because hopefully you never get an accident, but in case you were to have an accident, you have protection, you have insurance to help you cover those costs. But you know, there's the idea of if you're driving without insurance, maybe those of you who don't, those of you who drive without insurance, hopefully you're like this, 10 and 2 all the time, right? Just look, you don't want to get in an accident. But anyway, so here we are. That was a stall. So here we are at Corinthians 12:9. We got it? All right, here we go. I'll read it. But he said, so here, let me set this up really quickly. Sorry. Here's Apostle Paul. And he'd been asking God to remove the thorn in his side, right? We don't know. No one knows what the thorn in his side was, but there's a thorn earlier verses. He was talking that would come and buffet him, that was challenging to him. Maybe it was a temptation or an issue in his life that was, it's like, man, God, I want to be effective here. I want to go preach the gospel. I want to do these things, but this same thing, that this thorn in my side, is in my way. And we know it wasn't his wife because he wasn't married. Right, for the right. So I mean, like we know, like it was not. Maybe think of thorns in your sides that you have, challenges, issues, whatever it might be. Like he was having these reoccurring things, and he's like, God, remove it from me, and God didn't. Right? How did he respond? Actually, these words are in red because it's Jesus in verse 9. But he said to me, talking of Jesus speaking to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So as to say, in my opinion, that the power was contingent on his weakness, right? It was almost like you don't even get the power until you realize that you're at the end of yourself and you're in your weak place. Amen? But here, let's break this down a little bit more, because we know grace, right? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it, right? Also how Pastor Deborah says, I love that. God's power in me to do what God asks of me, right? That kind of paraphrases a little bit, right? But essentially God's power in me to do what his word is asking of me. So if we take that idea that God's power in me is for my power, right? So God gives me that power so I can do that, because another translation says, instead of made perfect, it's made complete in my weakness. Right, so I reworded this. So another part of this, because his power reaches completeness upon our weaknesses. So upon our weakness, that's when God's power reaches its completion, its fullness, its perfection. But oftentimes we don't like that really vulnerable place of weakness. Right, we tend to walk into areas and gift sets and areas that we know we're strong in. Right, I'm not a strong communicator, so I'm an introvert, so I'm gonna stay away from this area. Right, we do it in our ministries, right, and where we might serve. We do it in our jobs, right. And it's okay in a lot of senses, right. You want to go towards your gifted, right. Like I wouldn't recommend, like, if you are afraid of public speaking, trying to go and being a stand-up comedian. Right, like that's just probably not the job for you, right? It's okay to find out what your gift sets are and then kind of go into that area. Those are God-given. But what I want to pose the idea to you tonight is, where do we maybe need to be living? Where do we need to be stepping out with that harness, right? Maybe this is like freaking you out, like this idea of like, if I had a harness, I would just try to like, has anyone ever been on a trampoline? Right, like I'm not a gymnast, so I couldn't just like do backflips. Right, you've seen people who just like standing here can do like, the best I could maybe do is a somersault, but I'm not gonna be able to do back any kind of flips or any tumbling. Right, but get me on a trampoline, or at least when I was a little bit younger, and I thought I was like, you know, on I could do backflips, front flips. There was just a little bit more confidence in just kind of knowing that I had some security there. Right. So those were some of the strengths that I felt. I went to my limit of my strength. But then take me out of that area, take me off of a trampoline onto solid ground, and I no longer am as secure about trying to do a flip without breaking my neck, because I don't want to break my neck, one, and that's what would happen. So in the same light, here's Paul talking about, guys, the power of God. It ignites. It ignites. God's power will ignite in our life when we can be in a place of understanding our weakness. Because remember, what's the next part of that same verse? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. But that's not what we like to do. Not only are we going to boast, but oftentimes we're in denial of my weaknesses. Does anyone know anyone in denial of their weaknesses? Right? If they're sitting next to you, please don't look at them. But we've all been in denial of our weaknesses at some point in our life. Right? I know that I can't I'm not a very good dieter. I have a sweet tooth. I love sweets, more specifically donuts. And people on staff here, they call me Mr. Donut sometimes because I bring donuts to the office because I just want everyone to share in my love of donuts. I need to convert people for the gospel of the donut, all right? So it's just, I mean, I have a sweet tooth, so I'm not a strong dieter. I'm not someone that you're gonna come to for nutrition tips, because I'm gonna tell you, oh, not three donuts a day, just cut it back to two, right? And you'll be fine, right? Like, that's just not gonna work for people. But the idea here is that if we can realize our weaknesses, I can know that I'm not strong in the area right now. I'm not going to speak that because I need to be in better health. That's a goal of mine. But at the same time, until that's an area that's developed and gets stronger, then don't come to me for nutritional advice. And I'm not going to try to advertise myself or think that I need no help in the area of better fitness or nutrition. You get what I'm saying? This isn't a nutrition lesson, but I have to take any opportunity to talk about donuts because, no, just kidding. So what I'm saying, is that as we kind of go into our natural leans, into our natural bends, we have to think about the question of, in that weakness, where might I use and utilize the power of God to step out? What am I missing, right? Where could I be a better husband? Could I be a better father? Could you be a better employee? Could you be a better student? Could you be a better wife, a better husband, if we weren't afraid to just go into what we know, right? We could think, well, I was never shown a father. I was never shown how to be a wife. I was never shown how to be a husband or a mother or a student. I'm the first student in my family to go to college, so I don't know how to balance all these things. So we just stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't go outside of it. But if you have that harness, if you have that harness, aren't you going to try something new? Right, kind of going back to that trampoline park idea, right? You're at a trampoline park. Now all of a sudden, you guys remember those like foam balls? You guys know those foam things in the trampoline park? So like, there's that one where you go, you bounce off the wall, and you can try to do different things. So I would never, ever dare, other than having those pads there, to try to do some new things, right? So it's the same idea. It's the same idea of knowing that there's a security that is Christ that is around you, that you can now be empowered to step into areas that you've never stepped in before. So now when you think, oh, I've never seen a husband, I've never seen a wife, I've never seen a parent, a responsible adult in my life, that's not my upbringing, I don't have that way to go. Well, you can say, man, but I have the harness, I have the power of God in me. So I have protection, so even if I step out, even if I try, even if I fail, God's gonna catch me. Even if I fail at this class that I'm trying, even if I fail at this job, or maybe someone in here has thought, dreamed, prayed about starting a business, but you've never seen it done, you have no idea how to do it, and frankly, you're afraid. God says, start that business tonight. God says, apply for that class tonight. God says, apply for that job. Going back to my lunch conversation, we're talking a little bit more about his job, and he's telling me that in the short time he's been there, he's been promoted three times. He's like, man, Pastor, each time, I never really felt qualified for the job. I just knew, man, I'm a child of God. I am favored. I'm going to apply in faith, because what's the worst they can say? No. And so he ended up getting all the promotions every time he's applied for these promotions. But then the next part, he goes, so I'd be in this new place that I never really felt qualified for. And anytime I had a task that I didn't really know how to do, I just leaned on God's power. And somehow I got the job done. And so I'm going to tell you, you're going to get the job done. You're going to get the job done. Rely on the harness that is God's power, that is God's support, and you can get the job done. You can step out and know that God is going to catch you, that God is going to get you through. And I don't know who needs to be encouraged. I don't know who needs to know that God is going to catch you, that God will give you the power, that God has the ability to do that in our lives. Amen? I came to this realization. Yeah, it was funny. I got woken up out of my sleep with this thought, and I was going to show you this screenshot, because sometimes I wake up, I have my phone next to me, and I take notes, right? And I think, I wake up with these thoughts sometimes, and God's speaking to me. And I don't know if you guys have ever, how you guys wake up, but I wake up, like, one eye, one at a time, and then I switch to the other eye to try to open it up a little bit. But if you've ever tried texting right when you woke up or writing a note, it was like gibberish. So like even like, all right, so I'm going to send this to myself so when I go back to study and prepare for the message, I'm going to have this. And I really like, it was like tongues in writing because I had no ability to, and I had no gifting to translate it because I was like, what the heck was I trying to say? But anyways, there was a couple of highlights that I was able to decipher right through this hieroglyphics that was on my phone. And it woke me up. I remember so vividly. But I realized this. You know, the world will say that having control is power. Right? You know, I mean, we see magazines, 30 under 30 most powerful people, right? And it's really people that have control. They have finances. They have money. They have control, whether it be in their spheres of influence, right? Mark Zuckerberg, he has control of his world, right, with Facebook or in business or whatever it might be. But the world would paint control or power as having control over something. But it's pretty much in the kingdom of God, right? In the kingdom of God, we know the kingdom of God is where God rules, right? Where God is ruler, where he reigns supreme, that is the kingdom of God, right? So in the kingdom of God, control is surrender. In the kingdom of God, control is surrender. Ugh, no one likes that word, surrender, right? I noticed I didn't get a lot of amens with the idea of surrender. Because surrender is giving up. Surrender is throwing in the towel. We're not to quit. And I'm not telling you that we're here to quit. But you're taking the word surrender wrong if that's what you're thinking there. Because surrender is saying, not my will, but yours be done. Not my ideas, God. Not my plans, not my way of seeing things, not how I would have controlled the situation, right? Now how I would have walked through that, now how I would have responded to that coworker that said that thing to me. I surrender it to you. Because you guys know there's people who look at you sideways and you want to go right back sideways. I love how Robert Mardu said, you want to act like you have not, you realize that you haven't been saved your whole life and you remember some of those old words that you used to say that you want to partake in, right? But the realization is if I could surrender my ways and take on what God's doing, I now have access to power because it was never my power to try to get in the first place. See, because the people who use control as a form of power, that power is limited. It's going to always fall short from the power of God. It's going to always fall under the power, under the plans. Because otherwise, how would you tell me that someone who is qualified for a job, who understands a certain way, is going to get passed over by a child of God because he has favor with maybe not the same understanding, but that was the control that he had. But when someone says, I don't have control, God, I surrender into you, then now my weakness is made complete in his power, and there we go. Now we have the power in our lives. So I don't know which one of us, I know my hand is up, maybe have had trouble walking in places that we were weak in and relying on strength that maybe we don't always see. Because can we be honest in church? We often talk about the power and strength of God. But then where do we, what happens when we don't really see it? Because if God is so powerful, God is so strong, why am I in this place? Why did I lose this job? Why did I go here? And I don't have a quick solution for you tonight, but what I can say, if we can surrender our way of thinking, see, because the Bible says his ways are greater than our ways. His thoughts are way above our thoughts. So when we get into dangerous tracks, when we try to go in that line of thought, because then we have to think that it has to make sense to us. Because what we're saying is, God, I know I wanted to be here, and I felt like you promised me that I would be here. So in my understanding and in the world saying, in the kingdom of darkness or in this, then I have to go step A, B, C, D, and that's my ladder. I have to go rung to rung to rung. See, but as Christians, we're not operating in that kingdom. We're not operating in those thoughts. So it doesn't matter if I go from rung 1 to rung 4, right? Or step A to step 15. I'm mixing up my rungs and numbers, and but you guys are tracking, right? You guys are good, right? So if I go from step A to step Z, it's okay in God's kingdom because I don't have to understand. See, so now that's how this verse comes way more alive, because now my weakness becomes a strength because I gave it to God. See, but I don't want to be weak. I have to know what's going on. No. When we can surrender an issue, when we can surrender a problem unto God, and we say, I'm weak in this area, God, then God says, all right, now I can get started. In your weakness, now I can be complete. Here goes my power. Here goes my strength. And it's going to take you all the way where you need to be, because I have your plan. I have your life planned out. Not you, not what you think, not your control, but the power of God that is saying, hey, you can surrender and I'll take it from here. Is there anybody in here who wants to surrender to God's will, knowing that we can get the result that we're wanting in Jesus' name? Come on. Another quick thought, and then we're going to move on. But I want to share with you in James chapter 4, verse 10, talking about surrender. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, the old school church kid's going to come out of me. You guys remember that song? Humble thyself in the eyes of the Lord. Echo, humble thyself, and he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up. I date myself, but I loved that song when I was a kid, man. I've shared this before. Like, I didn't even realize I was singing scripture when I was a kid. I was just singing words, memorizing songs. But all that scripture comes back, and I'm like, oh, man, but I can humble myself in the eyes of the Lord and let him lift me up. Let him promote me. Let him make room. Let him give me the gifts that I need. So when a few verses earlier, it says that God rejects the proud, but he gives favor to those who are humble. Again, another not popular word. Surrender, humility. Oh, man, these are not winning any awards right now. But if we can humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord, which is really just saying, God, it's not going to be my way, but I give it to you. I understand that my ways are not, I can't even put my mind around what you might be able to do in this situation. Because the situation is bleak, and maybe some of you are in those places, or you'll come across times when the situation looks bleak, and like Robert was talking about earlier, that desperate place, right? That place of desperation. But if we can humble ourselves and say, God, I can't do it, that's when God can promote us. That's when God can lift us up. That's when God can say, all right, I'm on the scene. But you caught the first half of verse 6. He rejects the proud. There's opposition. There's opposition against pride. So when you try to come with God, like, well, this is what I deserve. This is what is rightful to me. There's that entitlement that we can have. But I've been in church for this many years, and I sit in the first three rows, and I serve on this team, and I take the pastor's Bible. All those things, right? And there's pride of what we deserve and what we should have. And I've tithed and I've been faithful. But it sounds an awful lot like pride. And what we're doing is what the Bible says. This is not me. This is what the Bible says. There's opposition against the proud. So essentially, you're not giving me I can work with, child. I love you. Absolutely, I love you. But when you give me that pride, I can't take it. But when we humble him, that's when we can get ourselves lifted up, not for the sake of being lifted up, but now we're in a place where we're saying, God, it's you anyways. But when we operate out of pride, we're essentially saying, all right, God, thanks for getting me this far. I'll take care of it I got it from here. Or I only needed you this much, right? And so now that I got money in the bank, now that I got that job, thank you for the job, but now I got it from here. Let me work. Let me operate. And then you're back into your own strength. All right, here we go. Last thought. So we're talking about surrendering and getting into a place of humility. The last place, talking about accessing God's power. Now, please understand that taking on a topic like the power of God, I realize was overwhelming. But I at the same time was not trying to take on the assignment of explaining to everyone tonight the full power of God in its full entirety. But I want to give us a couple of things that we can take away with so that we can access that power and apply it and use it in our life and be equipped. Is that okay? I'm Antonio. I'm not anybody else. All right? I'm me, and this is the assignment that God gave me tonight. This is the word that I wanted to share with you tonight, so I pray that it's going to bless you. But the second part is that we're going to use it, that we use the power. It sounds so simple, right? But I want to read a story to you. There was a lady who lived out in the country and had never had electricity. Obviously, this is in the turn of the century. But eventually, her family made arrangements for a line to be run out to her house. However, after 6 months, she had only used one unit of power. Company officials decided to drive out to her house to make sure nothing was wrong. Wanted to make sure that everything was fine. So when everything checked out fine, they asked her if she was enjoying having electricity. She said, "Oh my, yes, I love it." And then one of the representatives said, "Well, tell us how you're using it." The elderly woman said that each evening as the sun was setting, she turned the lights on long enough to light her kerosene lamps and then turned them off. So she was living in a kerosene existence when she had access to power. Some of us, church attending, Jesus loving Christians, are on kerosene, our kerosene lamps, when we have the access to a power, the power of God in our lives, the power that the Holy Spirit gives us. And so that's why I say it's a simple concept, but yet we can find ourselves, I know I can find myself in places where it seems elementary, but I go back into my own strength and then I'm on kerosene because then I only need this much thing, right? I just need a power to get here, and then that's what we're saying when we go back into, I'll take it from here, God. So I'll turn on the light so I can light my kerosene lamp. And then, all right, thanks, God. Turn off the lights. I don't want that bill to get too high. I want you to expect too much from me, God. So I'm going to turn you off. Running up the light bill. All right? But then we have that power that we're missing out on. See, at the end of Luke, Jesus is right. Jesus is about to leave. He knows he's going to leave. He gives an assignment, man. But so when I leave, there's going to be power given to you, right? He says power will be endued upon you. So don't leave anywhere. Here's the Great Commission. Here's what you have to do. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be at the right hand of my Father, but you guys need to get this power. So don't go anywhere without this power, right? He's telling them. And that's the power that we see. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit as we know it, right? That we see in Acts. But he's saying the Holy Spirit, the opportunity that we have to have the access to the Holy Spirit as to power to ignite us, to fuel us, was what God's plan was for our lives. But yet, here we are still in that kerosene idea. So, I want to read this thing with you, sorry. So, that's how we must use it, because we have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because that was God's plan and intention for us in the whole time. Right, because part of the Holy Spirit's job description as our counselor, as our guide, is giving us strength, is giving us grace, as in empowering us to do what he would give us to do. God gave us a job, but he said, use this power to get that job done. God gave us assignments, and he's saying, this is how you're going to do it. These are the tools, these are the resources that you need to do it. He would be a cruel God to say, here's the job, now get it done, right? Dig a well, no shovel, no pick, nothing, right? Figure out, no. He's saying, this is what I'm wanting you to do, and here's my Holy Spirit in which you'll be able to do it, right? That's that power that we need to access for our lives. That's who we need to call on in our lives. See, I can't help but feel like there's just too many of us that operate without full power, whether because we want to do it in our own strength, whether because that word surrender and humility is just a bad word, doesn't go in our category, or whether it needs to, we need to rely on it making sense to us. Or we get the idea of surrender, but we just don't put on that harness. Or we have the harness on, but we don't want to get on the ledge because that's still scary. Right? Because on the ledge, I can still fall. But I know that there are people in here that if you would step out, if you could get yourself to step out in new areas, in new ways, God's already spoken them to you. God's already given you the dream for it, the vision for them, but you just haven't been able to connect the dots. Wait, I know I have this strength, but I have this dream. It's not lining up. It's not lining up through your understanding. If we surrender that dream and that gift to God, then God, all of a sudden, it opens up and we access the power that will get us there. Because it won't need to look like what we've seen, right? We always look for precedent, right? There's this word in law, right? A legal precedence, right? Well, if you come to this judgment, then the way that you do that, right? So when the Supreme Court's going to make a law or we want to get something overturned, well, you need to show precedence that there's been other laws, that there's been other things that would justify that kind of thing. So we're always looking for precedence, right? Well, if this person did that, if they made it out of here, then the way I can do it is by doing the same thing, right? So this is the path that has been set. This is the precedence that I've seen done before. This is how you become a senior pastor, right? But as we've heard from Pastor Dan's testimony, it was never laying out the steps. There's in that unconventionalness of life is God's perfect power. Anybody get something from the Word of God today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.